Is daf kuf tes a gun chodesh to everyone. So we got to the last two lines of kuf ches amin beis. The Gemara says hu haya omer. He would say this is quoting a statement from Rabbi Muna from earlier. Yad la'ayin tikatis. A person puts his hand on his eye. We're talking about various medicines on the eye. So a person puts his hand in his eye tikatis. His hand should be cut off. The reason is, says Rashi, because it's talking about before washing the negavas in the morning, before washing hands in the morning, since there's a certain ruach. Ra, it's dangerous to put on the eye. Furthermore, the Gemara says, Yad lachotim, a person puts the hand on his nose, tikatetz, it should be cut off. Yad lapeh, tikatetz, yad laozen, tikatetz, yad lachasuda, which is a cut or a wound where an injection was or hagasas dam is done, tikatetz, yad laama, tikatetz, yad lapitabas, tikatetz, all the different parts of the body, particularly where there are holes in the body, yad legigas, tikatetz. What's yad legigas? Rashi says, Shematilin bo sheikhar. So it's referring to an area where they would drink beer from, a barrel of some sort. A person shouldn't touch it before washing hands because that too would be dangerous. Others say that it's actually referring to the Aruch has nothing to do with washing hands. When it comes to the Gigas, it's talking about don't touch it a stam, because doing so you're going to bring the merchandise or the beer, that you're going to have it lose money just by touching it and using it. And then the Gemara says, Yad misame, the eye, the hand touching the eye has the ability to cause one to go blind. And Yad machareshes, it causes one to lose his hearing. And Yad mala polypus, it causes some type of rashes, a bad smell in the mouth, in the nose. And Tanya further, the Gemara says, on the same topic, that Rabbi Nassan Am Omer bas chorin hizu, this ruach ra is called bas chorin umakpedes ad sheirchotz yadav shalosh pamim. It's makpid, whatever that means exactly. This ruach ra only leaves the hands once you wash your hands three times. The Gra had the practice to wash four times, but the simple understanding, simple psak is three times, one in each, three times in each hand. And then Amar Rabbi Yochanan puch, which is some type of eyeshadow of some sort. If one puts this on the eyes, mavir bas melech removes the ruach ra that affects the eyes. Uposek is adima, that also stops tears from coming. Umar beseyar bapapayim, it causes more hair on the eyelashes to grow. And tanim nami hochi, the Brisa says further that Rabbi Yossi Omer puch mavir es bas melech, uposek is adima, umar beseyar bapapayim. So these are, we're going to go through the rest of the daf is pretty much a gaut as well. Various medicinal medicines of some sort that help different things. Now, this we don't do thin rufu and the Gemara. We don't do bisman hazeh. We don't know how it works, so therefore we can't apply bisman hazeh. Yeah. Right. So the Gemara then says, "Vamar marukva." Marukva says, "Amar Shmuel." O Alin ain behen mishim rufu. Alin has no medicinal benefits to the eyes. Alin, unclear what Alin exactly is, but some type of herb. Rashi says. So Amar of Yosef says, Kius Barta, which is a coriander, Ein Ba Mishim Refuah. This too doesn't help the eyes. Amar of Sheish says, Kshus, Ein Ba Mishim Refuah. Kshus is hops, which is used in beer. Amar of Yosef says, Kus Barta Afilu Lididi Kashali. Rav Yosef said, even to me, it's harmful. I think the chiddush is because Rav Yosef himself was blind, Rashi says. So even for him, even though he couldn't see, it still caused him some additional tsar. So that's how terrible Kusbarta is for the eye. And Amar Rav Sheshes also was blind. Gargira, afilu lididi male, he felt that, they call it rocket, I don't know what rocket is, but it's beneficial even for Rav Yosef. Even though he was blind, it helped him some way, so it certainly helps another person who could actually see. V'amar mar ukva, Amar Shmuel, kol mine kshus sharu lebar mitruza. When it comes to all the hops, these things are permitted on Shabbos, except for this particular type called truza. Place truza, that's the type of hops. Rashi explains here, kol mine kshus shari lemecha b'Shabbos. You could eat it on Shabbos. Kiditznan masnitzin kol ha'ochlim ochel adam refuah delo mucha chamilsa. You're not allowed to do a refuah on Shabbos. You can't take medicine on Shabbos. You can't put cream on Shabbos. However, if you're eating food, even though the food also has medicinal benefits, that's called achila. So you're having chicken soup. We know chicken soup is a great refuah. However that works, so let's assume chicken soup is good for the health. So you could eat it because it's eating. Ah, there's also a memela, is a refuah that comes with it. Since be'ikr, it looks like you're eating, it's allowed. With one exception, the Gemara says, if it's a type of hops that is called this type of hops of matruza, that people don't eat, that people only have because of refuah purposes, that would be prohibited on Shabbos. Gemara says, Vayter now, Amr of Chista. Shrika Tavya Shari. When it comes to basting or roast is permitted, but pipue bay usser. But whisking eggs is forbidden. Okay, so what's this talking about here? So Rashi explains here that I think it's something, I don't think it's talking about Shabbat, I think it's talking about just stam eating these types of foods. Shabbos, yeah? Right here it said, while the roast is still warm soon after Shabbos, one may coat it with paste of oil and whisk eggs. So if you look at Rashi says, Shrika Tavya, which is referring to, again, basting a roast, L'shrok v'latuach shemen u'beitim migulgalam al hatzli, you could rub oil or eggs on the outside of the roast, the meat, kishu cham when it's hot, b'shechashech, even though it's the sun has set, even though it's Shabbos already, it's shari, it's permitted. U'bilvad shlo yeh ruseach, as long as it can't be boiling enough to make their eggs or the oil cook, we don't say rubbing the oil or the eggs is considered a tikkun on Shabbos. That's allowed. However, when it comes to pipua bay, when it comes to whisking an egg, that is litrof beitim, to mix eggs, migugam bakara, that's aser, the meschaze kiman debay l'mishadir b'kader. It looks like you're preparing the eggs to make eggs in the frying pan. That, because of the maris ayin, would be prohibited on Shabbos. Again, these are just a slew of different things. I'm not sure the connections of different topics here, but it's just a somewhat of a random Gemara. The Beise, the Zeira, the wife of Zeiri, of the lay Lechia Barashi, she's once preparing some food, some meat for Lechia Barashi, who happened to be a Talmud of Zeiri. That's why she's preparing for him, for the Achel, and he didn't eat it. Lechia Barashi refused to eat the meat that was prepared by Zeiri's wife. Amrilei, so she says to the student, to the Talmud, to Lechia, L'rabach Avdilei, I made this for your Rebbe, Zeiri, v'achal, he had no problem eating it, but atla achal, you're so frum, you don't eat it, you're more frum than your Rebbe. So, Zeiri l'tamai, why did Zeiri eat it? Because l'shitaso. The Amri Zeiri would say, nosin adam yayin tzalul, umayim tzalul, a person could put clear wine, he could put clear water, l'soch ha-mashmeres b'shabbos, and put it through a strainer on Shabbos, it's allowed. You used to use a mashmeres to separate the sediment from the wine or from the water and any particles that might be floating in the water. So you're allowed to put clear water through a strainer. Alma, kerin the mishate hachi, since you drink it, la midik avid. Meaning, it's a very halachamaisin person's house. I know David's into like water filters and stuff like that. So it's very shaykh in the house because are you allowed to use a water filter on Shabbos? So the klal is, if you would drink the water from the tap without the water filter, you just happen to like it a little bit better with a filter, that's allowed. If you would not drink the water unless it goes through the filter system first, then it would be usur. So the Gemara says, Zeiri had no problem drinking the water or the wine before the filter system. So even though it went through the filter system, that's fine as well. So that's allowed. But if a guy, if a person would not drink water from the tap, you would not be able to use the strainer on Shabbos. You can't use your filter system. You can't turn the water on Shabbos to use it because that would be borer on Shabbos. But Zeiri had no problem drinking the wine or the water prior to the mishmeres, and therefore it's allowed for him. Alma, kevan the mishati hachi, since he drinks it in the current state before it goes through the mishmeres, la mida kavod. It doesn't really accomplish anything even going through the mishmeres. Hachanami. Yeah. Hachanami here as well. Kevan the misachel hachi, since he would eat it without it being covered in the eggs that she would cover in, lamri de kavod, adding the oil, adding the eggs would not accomplish anything either, and that's why Zeiri had no problem. But Ziri's Talmud, apparently he felt that something was being accomplished by adding the eggs or the oil to the outside, and therefore since it looked like tikkun mana, the Talmud refused to eat it. So if Amar Ma'ukva, Ma'ukva said, Misha nikba yado al raglo, person who whose hand or his foot gets hurt, he should pour wine on it. Apparently, wine brings down the swelling. Veinu choshesh, and they're not concerned at all of any type of refuah that would be allowed, according to the Gemara. And ibaylu chalamai, but what about vinegar? Would vinegar be acceptable? So the Gemara says the reason why, by the way, you're allowed to pour wine is because it doesn't do anything. Pouring wine on a cut, on a bruise, won't affect anything. It's nothing's being accomplished, so therefore it's allowed. But vinegar, what's the halacha legabe vinegar? Could you put challah vinegar on top of a bruise? So Amar Rav Hillel Ravashi, Ki Avina Bei Rav Kana, once I was in the house of the Beis Medrash of Rav Kana, and Ami challah lo, they said you're not allowed to do vinegar on Shabbos because since challah does have an effect, it would be a form of refuah. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Vahani b'nei Mechuza, people of the city of Mechuza, they would came into Mifanke, they were very sensitive, they're Mufunakim. Afilu Chamra Nami Masilu, they would even pour wine on bruises, and therefore, even for them, in their place, since they would use wine, whether it's effective or not, maybe they had different doctors and scientists there, in that place, in Mechuza, they would not be allowed to pour wine on Shabbos, since this was a regular way of treating a bruise on during the week. So Ravina Iklei Lebei Rav Ashi. One time Ravina visited the base medrash of Rav Ashi, or the house of Rav Ashi, and Chazia Didricha Lechamra Agabe Dekari. They saw that the donkeys were stepping on Rav Ashi's foot. Okay, the Chamra was stepping on the Agabe Dekari of Rav Ashi. The Yosiva Katamislei Bechala. Rav Ashi then, after getting stepped on by the donkey, which probably hurt, he put it in vinegar to soak to make sure the bruise shouldn't get too large. So Amar Le, Ravina says to Rav Ashi, Lo Savar Le Mar Lahod Amar Rav Hilo. Don't you know Rav Hilo says, Chala Lo, that you cannot put one's foot in vinegar on Shabbos to prevent the swelling. Amar Le, Gav Hayam V'Gav HaRegel Shani. When it comes to the hand, when it comes to the foot, that's different, because these could be dangerous. It could really cause something more of a sakana. And since it's a Pikuach Nefesh case, you're allowed to. When it comes to Refuah is only not allowed when it comes to a person who's got a little bit of a pain. You have a little headache, a tiny headache, you can't take medicine. When it comes to something that's Pikuach Nefesh, where even Cholashem Bosakana, a person who's pretty ill, even though it's not dangerously ill, then you'd be allowed to treat them even on Shabbos. So Ikadami, others say, Chazed the Katsamis Le Bechamra. Ravina saw that the wine was having an effect here. So Amar Le, so Ravashi said to, Ravina said to Ravashi, again, just a different version of the story, Lo Savar Le Mar, Lahad Amar Rava, do you not hold what Rava says? Hani B'nei Mechoza, people of the city of Mechoza, came into Mefanke, Afilu Chamra, Nami Masilei, since they're so particular, even wine they use to heal, and therefore on Shabbos you can't use wine. Umar Nami Ha Mefanik, and you yourself, even though you don't live in the city of Mechoza, but you are of that type of person where you're very, very careful, sensitive, in particular. So Amar Le, Rav Ashi says, Gav Hayad V'Gav HaRegel, Shani, the back of the hand, the back of the foot is different, because Amar Rav Adabar Masa, Amar Rav, Gav Hayad V'Gav HaRegel, the back of the hand of the leg, Hare Hein Kemaka Shel Chala, it's like an internal wound, Umechalin Alav Alein Es HaShabbos. There's a klal when it comes to different organs, the body, internal organs. So if a person's, if an injury happens to, I don't know, a kidney, a liver, a heart, since it's a pikuach nefesh, anything internal would be subject to pikuach nefesh. By extension, the Gemara teaches us here, it's brought down the halacha as well. If a person injures the back of his hand, the back of his leg, there, the top of the hand, top of the leg, the dimwit, it's also, for some reason, considered an extension of the makah shechalo, and therefore one should be mechal Shabbos in order to treat this. So Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisa says, Rochsin b'mei grar. A person could take a bath in water of a grar. It's a city. It's a city in grar mentioned in Parshas Lech Lecha. You'll have to do this. It's like a spa of some sort. B'mei chamson, in the waters of chamson, another city. B'mei asya, another place. B'mei tiveria. About lo b'yam hagadol. You can't take a bath in yam hagadol. Why can you take a bath in yam hagadol on Shabbos? So the Gemara is going to explain shortly, but before doing so, we have to understand what is Yam HaGadol. Yam HaGadol is a big machlokas Rishonim. What's Yam HaGadol? So Yam HaGadol, we always taught growing up, Yam HaGadol is the Mediterranean Sea. Many hold that way, but a number of Rishonim hold the Yam HaGadol is any ocean in the world. There's a lot of oceans in the world, a number of them, and that's machlokas. So it becomes very halachal ma'isa, forgetting bathing on Shabbos, but also just saying there's a bracha that one says when seeing the Yam HaGadol. So is it when you see the Yam HaGadol, the Mediterranean, or when you see the Atlantic, the Pacific, or any other ocean? What is the definition? So it's not hachra in the poskim. So some say when you go to Gibraltar is the one place where you both see the Mediterranean and the Atlantic Ocean meet each other, so you can say the bracha for sure there because you have both shitas there. But if you're only on the coast of Eretz Yisrael, or you're on the coast of in New York City, you're only seeing one or the other, and therefore you're not going to fulfill the all shitas, so one would not be able to say the bracha in that case. Either way, one cannot bathe in the Yam HaGadol on Shabbos. We'll see why shortly. V'lo b'mei mishra, nor in water that was used to soak flax. The Rashi just explained because in doing so, it's a type of refuah. And v'lo b'yam ha-shastom, and not in the water of stone, which is Yam HaMelech, which also has medicinal benefits. All of these are aser because it's clear you're doing so for refuah on Shabbos. Now, it certainly implies that one would be allowed to bathe on Shabbos in general, go swimming on Shabbos. We don't allow you to go swimming on Shabbos in rivers and lakes and stuff like that because you might build a raft. But leaving that issue aside right now, just stop taking a bath on Shabbos. It's aser because of refuah in these particular places. Urminud asks the Gemara, Rochsin b'mei Tiverio b'yam hagadol. The Brayer says you may take a bath in Mei Tiverio in the waters of Yam Hagadol. Aval lo b'mei Mishav lo yibiyam ha-sidom. So we see that Kashi Yam Hagadol, Yam Hagadol. There's a stira. One place says you may take a bath in Yam Hagadol and Shabbos. The other one says you may not. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, lo kashu, there is no contradiction. Ha, Rabbi Meir, ha, Rabbi Yehuda. So it depends. The Tanan, there's a machlokas Tanayim. The Mishnah records it. The kol hayamim kimikva, the entire world of seas, or any sea, any ocean, is like a mikvah. Shenemar, it says, ulemikveh hamayim kara yamim. And to the waters of, called the mikvah mayim is all the yamim. All the seas, the oceans of the world is called a mikvah. Divrei Rabbi Meir. So every single yam is called a mikvah. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yama Gadol Kmikva, only Yama Gadol is referred to as a Nikva, because Lo Nemar Yamim, doesn't say Yamim, El Sheish Bo Mine Yamim Harbe, only that which has many Yamim to it. Not just Stam a sea, it's a Yama Gadol that has many seas, many oceans coming to it. So depending how you define Yama Gadol, but Yama Gadol is an area where many oceans come together. So only Yama Gadol would be. Rivers, it says? That's Naharos, I thought, no? A Nahar is a river, no? We didn't read a Nachal yet, did we? We didn't read that word yet. That's the thing. Yeah. Did we, yeah? Oh, not, I'm saying not in my, not the Gemara doesn't say that. It might be your Hebrew translation. No, yeah. So all the words come to it, so Yam HaGadol, whatever the definition is, it's understood that many waters, whether it's rivers, whether it's other seas, whether it's lakes, they all come to it, so only Yam HaGadol has that feature of all rivers or lakes or other seas coming to it. So it's not every water in the world is called a mikvah, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And then Rabbi Yosi Omer, kol yamim mitarin bezochlin. Every single water, every single sea has the ability to mitahir while it's flowing water. Uposin lezavim ul mitzaram, but disqualified. It's not good for the use of a zav or mitzaram ul akadish ben meyachatas. When it comes to a zav or mitzara, or to draw water for meyachatas, which is for the purposes of paraduma, these waters are actually disqualified from being used based on the different sugis. You need taras chaim, you need maim chaim, the pasuk says. You need a spring, not simply a flowing water. Okay, so without getting involved in the different definitions of mikvah, but we see from here that whether Yama Gadol could serve as a mikvah or not serve as a mikvah would dictate whether or not you could go to the Yama Gadol on Shabbos or not. Meaning if Yama Gadol does serve as a mikvah, so you could go to the mikvah on Shabbos, that's when we would say you can bathe in the Yama Gadol. But according to the Tanakhama, that says all the world wars in this in the world are all the same, so then you would not distinguish, you would not allow one to go to the Yama Gadol on Shabbos. Okay, the Gemara now says, Vayter, last line of the Amud here, Maskevla Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. He challenges this and says, top of Amun Beis, now a very long daf. Amor, the Pligilin and Tumah V'Tara. Granted, we could say Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda argue with respect to Tumah V'Tara, what serves as a mikvah, what doesn't serve as a mikvah. But Linin Shabbos Mishmasle, who says you can make that same extension? You could extrapolate the machlokas of Tumah V'Tara to a discussion about Shabbos. So completely two different topics here. One's Hilchos Mikvahs, and one's Hilchos Shabbos. So he doesn't like that connection to Tumah V'Tara, and therefore Ella Amar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak, he himself suggests lo kashya, there's no contradiction. Again, what's the machlokes, whether or not you could use the Yama Gadol, you could bathe on Shabbos or not? He says lo kashya, ha de ishtoi, ha de lo ishtoi. Depends whether or not one spends time in the mikvah or the bath on Shabbos. If a person goes to the Yama Gadol for a long period of time, he's ishtoi, he hangs out there, that would be awesome. But when it's lo ishtoi, when it doesn't hang out, it just kind of dips and comes right out, that would be permitted. What's the difference? So Rashi explains that when you're going for food purposes, you don't go to the spot to jump in and jump out. You go to the spot to hang out, let the water, the salt, the minerals, get absorbed in the skin. That's clearly for food purposes. That's if you're hanging out and just floating around. If you go in and you come right out, that was simply to clean oneself, to perhaps use as a mikvah, and that would be permitted on Shabbos. So it depends on the timing. That's the difference. B'mayo kimta, l'basraisa, why do we establish at the second braisa? Delo ishtai is a case where he wasn't hanging out, he just went in and out, and that's why it's permitted. And Delo ishtai, had he not hung out, afil b'mei mishunami, if it's a case where he doesn't spend time floating around, it's permitted, even in the waters of flax would be permitted. Meaning it's not only Yama Gadol that you have this distinction between how long you're there. But any body of water, if you want the flax waters to have additional effects on you, you want to hang out there. Jumping in and out doesn't have any effect. So if it's really about not hanging out, every type of water, not only may Yama Gadol should be permitted, but even may Mishra should be permitted. So Hadatani, the Braisa says, Rochsim b'mei Tiveria u'v'mei Misha u'v'yamashel Sodom, you could bathe in these waters. V'yafa pisha yesh lecha tatayim b'rosha, even though there might be some type of sores or cuts, bruises in the head, which are usually going to be helped by these types of waters. B'med v'ramuim, when can you do this on Shabbos? Only shelo nishta. If you jump into any of these bodies of water on Shabbos, for a moment, it's allowed. Aval nishtay, but if you spend time, you linger, you float there for a little while, then it would be usur. So then, if it's talking about, we establish the second brisa, when you're allowed to go to the Amagadol, is only when you lo ishtay, then it should be permitted just as well for the Mei Mishra and Mei Tiveria too. So the Gemara says that you're right. What's the machlok is whether Yamagadol you're allowed to bathe on Shabbos or not? El Yamagadol, a Yamagadol, lo kasha. There is no contradiction. Habi Yafin Shibo, Habi Ron Shibo. It depends on which part of the Yamagadol we're talking about. The waters that are nice or the waters that are not nice. If it's the waters that are nice, so people will take a bath in a nice water, clear water, it's nice water. But the waters that are bad, the words that people don't clean themselves in dirty water, but they still could have medicinal benefits in those bodies of water. So therefore, as Rashi says, b'yafin, the three lines down from the top, if it's the part of the Yamagadol which is very nice and clean, shekein rochsin behen b'chol, the rechitza, shein l'refua, people during the week would take a bath in the clear areas of the Yamagadol. So on Shabbos, it would be allowed as well, because you're doing it for rechitza purposes, not refua purposes. If a guy goes to the rum, to the bad, the dirty parts, even though they might be physically dirty, but from a refua perspective, they still have the minerals one would want from the Yamagadol, so no one bathes in the rotten parts of the Yamagadol, but one does go for refua purposes, then it would be usur to go in those areas of the Yamagadol on Shabbos.
So this was before the Takana.
Exactly. You probably have to figure out somewhere before the Rechitza. Unless the Takana of Rechitza may have only been when it came to a bathhouse, not to natural bodies of water. Because the whole chashash of bathing was only a bathhouse because they might turn on the fire. And exactly. That's a different piece. Exactly. But this is not hot water. So cold water, natural bodies of water, wouldn't be subject to the din of Rechitza.
It's only even nowadays.
Right, even nowadays, right. It'll be subject to issues. No, because issues, no. It's issues of going and building boats and stuff like that. There's other issues of going in waters, but not the gzeir of rechitza, though. So then the Gemara says that mishra, nami lokasha. There's also the two Gemaras had mentioned one case that you're allowed to go to the mea mishra, and the other one says you cannot go into a mea mishra on Shabbos, the waters of flax. So what's the machlokas? Same thing. If you spend time in the Mei Mishra, that's asur. That's clearly for refuah. If you're not spending time there in the Mei Mishra, then it's permitted. You're doing it simply to clean yourself off quickly. Okay. The new Mishra says, still on the same topic of refuah, the Mishra says that ein ochlin ezovian b'Shabbos. You can't eat ezovian on Shabbos. What's ezovian? So it's a type of hyssop. They explain here. Some type of herb. It kills worms, apparently, when you eat it. So you can't eat that on Shabbos. That's clearly for refuah purposes. The fish ain't maichel briyim. That's how healthy people don't eat it. Only sick people eat it. So therefore, it's aser on Shabbos. Aval ochel hu es yo ezer v'shose abu roe. You could eat these things because even healthy people would eat them, whatever they are. I'm not sure exactly. The English translation doesn't offer any suggestions, but they're eaten by healthy people. Kol ha'ochlin ochel adam l'refuah. A person could eat food for refuah purposes, as long as it's real food that people normally eat during the week. V'chol ha'mashkin shosa, any drink that's normally drunk, you could also drink on Shabbos. Chutz mimei dekalim, except for water of palm trees, which apparently only sick people eat or drink. And kosi karin, a drink that causes a person to become sterile, when we're not allowed to take, we're not drink on Shabbos, it's a certain refuah, has a certain effect. That's usher as well. Mipnei hein liroka, because it causes apparently jaundice to be healed. Aval shosa who made dekalm litzmal, but if a person is really really thirsty, so then he could even drink the water that was from made dekalm. Even though above we said one cannot, but person is really really thirsty, which means it's pikuach nefesh cases, one would be allowed to drink these things. And the sach shemen ikarin shlo refuah, a person could also put oil on their skin if it's not for the purpose of refuah, simply it's for enjoyment. People like to rub oil or cream. Well, cream is different, but oil, you can put oil on the body as long as it's not for refuah. Oil is not to be confused with cream. Cream is a different issue. Oil would be allowed on Shabbos. So let's say a person has got chapped lips, you can't put oil on because it's a refuah. But if a person does not have a chapped lips, you just like want to keep it maintained nice and moist, so putting oil would be allowed. It's different than cream. Cream can't be put, but oil can be because there's no refuah purposes and you're not doing any mimachic issues. It's already liquid.
Why is that? If you use oil for just person likes some oil, so then it doesn't look like refuah.
No, if you have chapped lips, clearly you are doing it for it refuah then.
The person has a sore throat, so then he could have tea, because he normally can drink tea.
But when you have chapped lips, it's clear. It's clear that you have chapped lips. It's noticeable. So the Gemara then says, Amar of Yosef. Yosef says, Ezov Abarta Bar Hamag. So when it comes to a certain type of hyssop, it's of a place called Hamag, or that's a type of hyssop, it is a type of Ezov, it is. Ezovian Abarta Bar Hinig. This is the Mishnah. The Mishnah here in the Mishnah talks about Ezovian. It's apparently the Ezovian called Bar Hamag Ezov. Okay. So Ula Amar Mar V'chivara, it's a type of white sage. That's his understanding of what Ezov means. Ula Ikle the Beit Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Once he visited the house of Rav Shmuel, and Isi Lakame Mar V'chivara, he brought some white sage. And Amar, he says, Ah, Hainu Ezov D'chzib Baraisa. That's when the Torah says Ezov. It's this white sage. That's what it meant. So your Papa Amar, he says a third understanding. He says Shumshuk. It's Shumshuk. When it says Ezov in the Torah, it refers to something called Shumshuk. Okay, I don't know what that is, but that's the third. What? Whatever that is. So Amar of Yirmiyah, Midifti, he says, Kivase de Rapapi Mistavra, Rapapi makes the most sense. The Tan, the Mishnah says, Mitzas Ezov Shlosha Klachim, the mitzvah is to take the Ezov of three different branches when it comes to Paraduma. Ubehayan Shlosha Gvolin, and each one should have three different sections of it. Each branch should have three different, what they call them here, capsules of the leaves. V'shumshuk hu d'mashakach hachi, and when it comes to this shumshuk, apparently has you could find the shloshuk givolim, so it seems to fit into the picture much nicer than the other two suggestions. So the mai achlile. So what do they eat? Ezovin of the Mishnah, who eats this? For what purpose does one eat this? The kukani, which is for the intestinal worms, it apparently cleans out the system. So but mai achlile, and what do you eat it with? You don't eat it plain. B'sheva tamri ukamasa, with seven black dates mixed together with this ezovian, you have it together. It's a nice little mixture, and you eat it, and it clears out the system. Mimai havya, from where does it come? Mikimcha desari, from where do the worms come from? When a person eats a barley flour, the chalifale arban yomim, which is 40 days old, apparently after time, these worms develop in the barley flour. When he eats it, now he's been infested with worms, and he needs to take this little mixture in order to clear out his system. So the Gemara then quotes from the Mishnah, Abal ochel hu es yo'ezer, a person may eat yo'ezer on Shabbos, ma yo'ezer, what is that? It's a postnik, which is called pennyroyal, I don't know what that is, but that's the definition of it. Lamai ochlile, why do people eat this? Larkasa, for worms that get stuck in the liver, this clears out the liver when needing so. So then, b'may ochlile, and with what do you eat this yo'ezer with? B'sheva tamei chivarasa, with seven white dates mixed together with yo'ezer, you eat it, and that helps the worms in the liver. So b'may havya, where do such worms in the liver develop from? Where do they come from? Mi'umsa umaya aliba rekana. When a person eats raw meat and a person drinks water on an empty stomach, apparently it's a great breeding ground for these worms. So umibisra shamna aliba rekana, or a person eats very fatty meat on an empty stomach, or mibisra ditara aliba rekana, or a ox meat on an empty stomach, or me amguza aliba rekana, or a nut, a type of nut, an empty stomach, or migire derubia aliba rekani, or eating fenugreek on an empty stomach, u mishe maya abase, and then drinking water after any of these foods. That combination of any of the ones we mentioned, plus some water, all on an empty stomach, will help be a great breeding ground for these worms. V'ilo, and if a person does not take this type of yo'ezer, liblai tachli chivarta, he should swallow some white cress. Apparently that's a second option in clearing out the system. V'ilo, if a person does not have that available, there's a third option. Aleisev betanisa, a person should fast. V'ilaisi bisa shaman, then he should have some fatty meat. V'lishte agumre, throw it on top of some hot coals. V'limit garma, and he should suck out the juice of the meat. V'ligme chala, and drink some vinegar with that. V'kadami chala lo, others say, you don't really need the vinegar. V'shim nekashi lekavda, because it actually is very painful on the liver. But this is a third approach, to have some fatty meat burnt over some burning coals. V'lo, and if this doesn't work, or perhaps doesn't have not available, there's yet a fourth approach to get rid of these worms in the liver. Laisi gurda da sinta, a person should bring some type of a bark of a certain bush, de grida me'alai l'satai, that's been peeled off downwards, v'lo metatai li'alai, but not from upwards, from the downwards you peel off the outside of the bark. Dilma nafki aidi pumi, because pulling them up will come out through the mouth of some sort. Velishlake bishichra be shivave, and you should take the branch, the bark rather, and you should boil it in some type of oil, rather beer, during Bein Hashmashos. Vilmacha the next day, niskarin in lenachvin didei, and you should put them near your nostrils. Velishle and drink it, I'm not sure, through your nostrils or through the mouth or near the nostrils. Vichimipne, and when a person goes to the bathroom, mifane apshicha didikle, he should relieve himself on a strip to the shit part of the tree where he took the bark off. And that's a fourth way to remove the worms from the liver. Of course, this doesn't mean much to us now, but these things back then had a lot of meaning. And v'shosin abub ra, the Mishnah had said that you could drink this type of drink on Shabbos. My abub ra, what is this? Chumtraya, which is my chumtraya, asks him, what is that? It's chutra yichida. It's what's called a solitary staff. It's a certain type of a species that has no branches, says Rashi. That's what it is. I don't know lemais what it is, but it's something. Lamai Avdilei, what do you do with this? What's the benefit of it? Ligulaye, which is for a person who drank some maim megulim, some water that was left out overnight. There's a chashash to have water left out. Maim megulim, it's a din in Shulchan Aruch. Tosas writes in Mechaber Pasuk this way, Bizman Hazeh, where we live, there's no concern because we don't have snakes. Where, you know, Tosas lived in Europe, there are no snakes. In America, most places, there are no snakes. There's no chashash that a snake might leave its venom, so there's really no chashash bizman hazeh. The one exception where it does come up is when it comes to yayin for Kiddush Havdalah. The Shulchan Aruch says you should not use yayin megulin, even if we're not machbid in general, but for yayin of Kiddush Havdalah you should not use it, so too for the Mizbeach. But that being said, even though the Pashup Shat reason why Maim or Yayim Megulim is Aser is because of a snake, the Pischei Tshuva brings down from the Gra and the Shla, who are very makbid al piha Kabbalah, that one should not have Maim Megulim and Yayim Megulim. So depending how a person in general, how he leans towards Kabbalah or not, that would dictate whether or not he should be concerned of these things. But this is talking about Lamais, if a guy drank some water that was left out overnight, whereby there was a chashash of some venom left over from the snake, so he should drink some of this... some of this, whatever this thing is, this white, this solitary staff.
Why would snake drink venom?
He can leave the venom, apparently. Vilo, if not, if he doesn't have this available, there's another option he could take as well. Laisi chamshi, clearly he should bring 5 roses. The chamshi kusasa, the shichra, and 5 cups of water. V'nishlokni behadeh hadare, and he should boil them together, the roses and the beer together, ad dekaimi anapke v'nishe, until there's an anpake, a certain potion, which is mixed nicely together, whereby you could drink it. Ema, the Rav Achtavoy by army. So the mother of Rav Achtavoy, avdelei lahu gavra. So she prepared this little potion for a person to drink. The roses and the beer mixed together, boiled together. And chad klila, 1 rose, v'chad ksusa d'shichra. There's 1 rose and 1 cup of beer. And shalka v'shkisei, she boiled them together and she gave it to him. V'shagra tanura, she lit an oven, u'grafia, and she started shoveling out the ashes. V'os v'sei l'bein to begave, and put a brick inside where the she made this guy sit. U'nafak kuta yarka, and the poison came out from him like a green leaf of a palm branch. Okay, so she did some combination plus some oven, and he started spewing out the venom. So Rav Avya Amar, Rav Avya said, Riviasa de chalva m'iza chivarta. Such a person, if a person drank uncovered water, another option is to drink 1/4 lug of goat milk. Rav Yehuna bar Yehuda Amar, Laisei esroga chalisa, a person should bring a very sweet type of esrog. L'chaike, he should make a hole in it. L'imlei duvshin, fill it up with honey inside the esrog. V'losei bei melala, the nura, place it near a fire. V'lechlei, and he should eat it. That's another way to clean out the poison in the system. Rabbi Chanina Amar, he said that meraglaim b'nei arbam yom, you should take urine that's 40 days old. Barzina lizibura, and you should drink barzina, that's what he says for again. Yeah, 1 second here, barzina. Hold on, you should drink a barzina of urine for a wasp sting. Okay, not highly recommended. But Revia Lakraba, when it comes to if it's a scorpion sting, you should take 1/4 cup of meraglaim that's bnei arbam yom. Palga Revia Legiluya, if it's a giluya uncovered water, you should have 1/4, which is 1/8 of a meraglaim. And Revia, afil lekshafim malu, and 1/4 lug of meraglaim would be beneficial for a person who's under some type of magic. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, says further now, a nigron, a water which is mixed together with spinach and beets and some sort, and other types of vegetables, vavanger, which is mixed with some type of I'm not sure what that's mixed with. It's a type of herb, Rashi says, v'tiryaka and balsam, ma'alu ben legile ben lekshafim. It's beneficial both for water that's uncovered and the water and for machshefa. Okay. Finish off the daf now. Haiman the Bali Chivya, a person who now swallowed a snake. Lochle kishusa kimilcha, he should eat hops with some salt. The rahate telasamila, he should run 3 miles, 3 mil, and that's going to help whatever the poison, the venom of the snake, it should help relieve him from that. Rav Shimi barashi chazilahu gavra. Rav Shimi saw a certain person, the Bali Chivya, he saw a guy swallow a snake. Edemele kiparsha, he looked at him as a horseman. Ochle kshusa bimilsa, he gave him some hops with some salt. Vaharte kame delasamila, made him run 3 mil. Vunafik mine guba guba, and the snake came out in many pieces from his body. Okay. And Ikadami, others say that Rav Shimi bar Ashi balachivara, Rav Shimi himself swallowed a snake. And also Eliyahu idamile kiparasha, Eliyahu appeared to him as a horseman. Ochle kshusa milsa, he gave him to eat some hops and salt. Vaharte kame delasamila, made him run 3 mil. Vunafik mine guba guba, and the snake came out in different pieces. Okay, we'll stop here. Everyone have a wonderful day and a good Mechodesh. Yitzhak Shem will continue tomorrow at 6:15. You say when they